You know that feeling, right? Joining a new club, maybe a new team, a volunteer group, really any kind of organization. You arrive, you're full of energy, totally ready to dive in. But, well, sometimes you just end up feeling a bit like you're on the sidelines, kind of waiting for your turn, maybe, or just trying to figure out all the unspoken rules. It's actually a really common experience, isn't it? That initial burst of enthusiasm just sort of fizzling out because you don't feel properly, truly integrated.
Yeah.
Well, today we're taking a deep dive into a document that tackles exactly that challenge. It's called True Inclusion, the Future of Lions Clubs. That's the global network doing community service.
But the surprising thing is, the insights here, they go way beyond just service organizations, I think. Our mission today, let's try and extract the core wisdom on how to really turn those new faces into genuinely valued contributing members.
Absolutely. And what's really insightful, I find, is that this material, it isn't just about, a welcoming handshake at the door.
Right.
It goes much deeper. It talks about making space for who they are, what they bring, and what they care about. Okay, making space.
Yeah. And it highlights this really crucial distinction, the difference between simply fitting in and truly belonging.
Ah, fitting in versus belonging. That's interesting.
Exactly. And if you connect that to the bigger picture, that distinction, well, the document argues it's the absolute key. It's what determines whether someone stays or eventually decides, maybe their time is better spent somewhere else.
Okay, you mentioned that crucial distinction there, fitting in versus belonging. Can you maybe elaborate a bit on why focusing too much on, say, traditional activities, which are obviously important to a group's identity, why that might accidentally stop a new member from feeling like they truly belong?
Yeah, that's a great question. The document points out that when you join a new group, right, there are often these signature projects or maybe longstanding activities that are, the heartbeat of the club. They reflect its history.
Sure, the things they're known for.
Exactly. And while new members are, of course, welcome to join in, for them, those traditions might not carry the same inherent meaning or the same
Right.
emotional connection.
Right, they weren't there when it started.
Precisely. So they participate, maybe they attend the meetings, but without that deeper personal connection to the purpose behind it, or maybe even the way it's done, well, they can easily start to drift away. It's a pattern I think many organizations really struggle with.
And the document seems pretty blunt about how this often plays out. It describes this kind of old way where joining feels a bit like, well, like learning to ride a bike with training wheels on. New members are subtly, sometimes maybe not so subtly, encouraged to just observe first, learn the club culture, and then sort of slowly earn the right to actually speak up.
Yeah, on the right.
And if they do offer suggestions, they might get hit with, the classic, oh, we tried that 15 years ago and it didn't work.
Oh, definitely. That's a common one.
Right. And they might eventually get invited to lead a committee, maybe, but only if they promise not to rock the boat too much or stray from how we've always done it.
Exactly. The source is very, very clear about that old way. It states pretty unequivocally, that's not inclusion. That's assimilation.
Oof. Assimilation.
Yeah. Which truly hits hard, doesn't it? Because it explains why so many people feel like an outsider,
Yeah.
even when they're technically, in the group. It's all about being absorbed into some kind of existing mold rather than being genuinely, authentically integrated.
Okay, so if that's the old way, the assimilation model, how does the document suggest organizations pivot away from that? What's the fundamental shift it's advocating for to really embrace true inclusion?
Well, the core of it really is a pretty profound shift. It's moving away from expecting new members to just conform to whatever the existing structure is, towards actively seeking out and valuing their unique contributions,
Right.
right from day one.
From day one.
Yeah. Instead of saying, look, here's what we do, now go learn it. The document says true inclusion starts with asking one simple question, basically.
Which
What excites you? What skills do you bring? What causes do you really care about? And then, and this is critical, it says the organization must support them. Support them in bringing that passion, that interest to life within the group.
Wow, okay. That sounds incredibly empowering for the new person. But I can imagine for established groups, that could feel like a really significant cultural shift. Does the document talk about any potential challenges or maybe friction in integrating these new sort of individual passions with the existing structures and missions?
That's a very real concern, yeah. The document doesn't explicitly lay out, like, a step-by-step change management plan or anything. But the strong implication is definitely a cultural shift, one where leadership actively seeks out these new ideas and actually champions them rather than just you know, tolerating them.
So it's more than just letting it happen, it's encouraging it.
Exactly. It's not about abandoning all the existing projects that people care about.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about expanding the definition of what contribution looks like. For instance, the document gives some really vivid examples of how this could play out. It imagines, say, a lion who loves fishing, maybe owns a boat. What if they organized fishing trips for underprivileged youth?
Ah, okay. Connecting a personal passion directly to the service mission.
Precisely. You're using what you love to do to serve.
So it's really about seeing how these new passions can actually enrich the mission, maybe even attract a different demographic or bring a fresh perspective to those traditional projects, but through a new lens. What other kinds of examples does it give?
Yeah, exactly that. Or imagine a member who just loves art. What if they taught a painting class? Maybe first just to fellow members, and then perhaps led an outreach program doing art in retirement villages.
Okay, not everyone.
Or think about a tech-savvy lion. Maybe they could lead digital literacy workshops for seniors in the community. Or build a brand new website for the club.
Right, leveraging those specific skills.
It's all about leveraging those individual strengths and interests in ways that benefit the whole community and the club itself. And when members feel empowered to lead with their own passions like that, they feel heard, they feel valued, supported.
Yeah, you can see how that transforms the individual's experience, absolutely. But how does this level of really personalized inclusion, where members are leading with these unique passions, how does that benefit the entire organization, the group as a whole, beyond just keeping that one person happy, I mean?
Well, it creates a much more dynamic, evolving culture, doesn't it? Since it's an incredibly powerful message. We see you. We actually value you. Let's grow together.
Mm.
And this approach, it doesn't just strengthen the bond between new members and, let's say, the old guard. It also elevates the entire club's culture. You move from this kind of static model to one of, well, continuous innovation and relevance, really.
Keeping things fresh.
Keeping things fresh, exactly. And, you know, the impact on member retention is pretty clear, too. The document notes that we often quote that statistic, you know, the one that most new lions leave within 3 years.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But when members feel seen, when their passions are actually integrated into club life, and crucially, when they're invited to lead with support, well, those numbers change. They stay, they grow, and importantly, so does the club.
So really boiling this all down then, the central message seems to be a complete rethinking, almost a redefinition of what membership truly means.
I think that's right. The fundamental truth that's really underscored here is this. We don't grow lions by changing who we are, which is interesting. We grow by letting more people bring who they are into lions.
Mm.
That's inclusion. That's growth. And the document argues that's the future, not just for these specific organizations, but really for any group that's aiming for true vitality and, you know, enduring relevance.
Okay, so to just summarize the core takeaway from this deep dive as I see it, it really is about this profound shift, moving away from that old assimilation mindset, you know, where new members are basically expected to just observe and conform to how we've always done it, moving from that to one of true inclusion, where maybe the very first question you ask someone is, okay, what are you passionate about? And empowering individuals to lead with those unique passions, it not only helps keep members around, but it dynamically transforms and elevates the entire group's culture in the process.
Exactly. And maybe to take this concept even further, as a final thought for you listening, if the success and the growth of an organization really hinges on letting more people bring who they are into Lions or, frankly, into any group we're part of, what does that really imply for how we define contribution in all our collective endeavors?
Hmm. Interesting question.
How might our own communities, maybe our workplaces, even our families perhaps, how might they evolve if we proactively sought to integrate individual passions and skills rather than just, you know, expecting everyone to adhere to the established roles or the old traditions? What opportunities really are we missing? What potential are we leaving untapped by not asking, what are you passionate about? More often in all areas of our lives.